Joining us now is our friend Justin Adams. Of course, you can catch him at CBS 4 Denver and at Justin Adams TV on Twitter, Colorado's own. Justin, thanks for the time. Obviously, this week is an important one for the Denver Broncos. The idea, as the coaching search goes along, is that Dan Quinn is the favorite, but is there an argument to be made that there might be too many variables for the Broncos as it stands right now to make Quinn, who could be the front runner at multiple places, a little bit uncomfortable with the thought of coming to Denver?
Sure. Like, he could find a better job and a better opportunity, for one. That could be one of the biggest reasons why he doesn't come, or something else that's a greater fit. But again, when you look at Dan Quinn, he has worked before with George Payton. They know one another, very close to one another. So that's one of the deals where it could be what will connect George, what will connect Dan Quinn to this job. So I think it'll be very interesting to see what happens from there. But that's the reason why George Payton and the rest of the crew have interviewed so many guys and will still interview some guys tomorrow.
Do you think it is a two-person competition? And in addition to that, I want to follow up on what you said just a second ago, that other teams, it is true, have interest in Dan Quinn. If you're Dan Quinn and you're looking at the Denver job, do you think it's the best job or one of the two, three, at worst, best jobs? If you're looking at it from his perspective, is there a clearly better job out there? Forget about knowing Payton and all that. Mm-hmm. Just the job itself, of all the openings, isn't it the most appealing? Or close to that?
Well, the Broncos are close to being the most appealing because you already look at one side of the ball and it's already put together. The defense. The defense is there. You look even on offense, you have your wide receivers, you have your running backs pretty much in place. You have to figure out what you're going to do with Melvin Gordon. But the biggest question is, what do you do at quarterback? That's the biggest one right there. And I think that's really the biggest selling point that George Payton will have at the end of the day when you talk about negotiations and different things like that. Is what's the plan at quarterback? It's not really the coach when you think about it. It's about the GM. It's about what George Payton is going to do. So you can look at a job like Minnesota, for example. And I know Kirk Cousins is not the prime time quarterback. He's, you know, not the guy, honestly, who deserves to get paid the $80 million plus that he did, right? But he is a guy who did lead Minnesota to the playoffs several times. And so he has that success. And another thing, too, is Minnesota, unlike Denver, you don't have any issues where you think about ownership. Now, Minnesota, they're going to hire a new GM, but you don't have to worry about who's going to be the owner, who's going to be running the show from there. So that's the only job I would say that would be better. Other than that, hey, if George Payton can figure out what goes on at the quarterback position and sell that to Dan Quinn, I think you have a job, and you also have a beautiful marriage right there.
Let me just quickly follow up. So you think Quinn is 1A to Hackett's 1B, or do you think it's Quinn and everybody else is in a different tier?
No, it's Quinn and Hackett. I mean, it's the same, too. And, you know, we've been doing this for a while. Generally, you trust what you hear first, right? And I know that not a lot has leaked out on this coaching search specifically here, but you trust what you hear at first, where it's Dan Quinn, who's the guy that the Broncos like, and then Nathaniel Hackett, because who he's linked up to, right? Linked up to possibly getting another offensive coordinator already in place, right? Linked up to getting Aaron Rodgers as well, right? And that's kind of the fantasy deal that we'll look at right there. So there's still some guys who are being interviewed. I would love to see Eric Bieniemy really have a great, great showing in his interview process. But other than that, honestly, it's those two.
When you look into some of these young guys being interviewed, Kellen Moore, Kevin O'Connell, Brian Callahan, young offensive minds, none of those guys over the age of 37, quite frankly, are you surprised to see the youth movement in coaching, even if the Broncos don't pick one of those three guys?
No, I'm not at all. I'm not surprised to see it. And think about it, too. When is the best time to interview? Do you wait until you're in your 60s? Do you wait until you're in your 50s? Like, at what point does it say, oh, this guy's ready to be a head coach? Remember the one thing that George Payton was talking about, and he talked about at the end of the season, is that he wanted someone to come in with leadership. And if these guys have those leadership qualities, you can quickly win over a locker room. But the reality is that if you don't have those qualities and you're young, then that will be seen as something that's deficient on your end overall. So the main part is this, is that can these guys be able to develop a quarterback? Because at some point, even if you get Aaron Rodgers, even if you make all these different trades, at some point, the Broncos will draft a quarterback, and you will have to go and develop that guy for the future. So whoever you choose, whoever you pick, will have to be able to do that.
We all know of people who tend to interview very well, and they're not necessarily the most qualified. We also know that people don't interview at times particularly well, and they might be the most qualified, the best fit. How important are these long interviews? And not only does George Payton seem to be interviewing more people, but he's interviewing them for longer periods of time, it seems, than John Elway ever did in securing any of the four coaches that were basically hired in the Elway regime. You're experienced in looking at these things. How important is the interview itself, or are there other factors, maybe even more important factors, that go into making the final call?
Well, it's interesting because there's two things, and we all know this just from being hired within the jobs that we do, right? At first, you can talk about how excited you are. You show somebody your resume, and you pitch yourself to them, right? And then after a while, you have to be comfortable with your surroundings, right? Be comfortable with the people that you're going to be working with. And I think that's what George Payton is doing. Like, everybody loves in football, like, a script, right? 15 plays. First 15 plays, let's run from there. But after those 15 plays, what happens to your team? And that's kind of what I feel this is right here, what George Payton is doing, is he's trying to figure out, okay, the first 30 minutes, you're ready to go. The first hour, you're ready to go. But what happens when we go to hour number three and we continue to ask you questions? Remember, they're flying all over the country doing these interviews and meeting up with these guys as well. So will there be something that they see that, hey, that won't work right there? And we're glad that we took that extra time to find out, because it's not just George Payton, but it's the rest of the cavalry that the Broncos have as well that are going to be interviewing him. So I like, me personally, taking those longer interviews, because you always want to, especially in important positions like this, you want to hire slow and fire quick, okay? You want to make sure that you hire the right person and not go and make that decision quickly, because if you do, you could end up hiring the wrong individual and lead your team down the wrong path.
Granted, Justin, the Broncos are casting a very wide net when it comes to this coaching search, but were you surprised that there were any other names not on it? With obviously Quinn having head coaching experience, was it a surprise to see him the only one? Maybe not a Doug Peterson or a Brian Daboll, who does such a good job with Josh Allen up in Buffalo. Are there any of those folks that you were somewhat surprised that the Broncos did not interview? And if so, why do you think they moved away from them?
My name is Marvin Lewis, to be honest with you. And it's one that we haven't talked about, right, probably in this market at all. And this is my main reason why I was saying Marvin Lewis. And I get it. He didn't win a playoff game with the Cincinnati Bengals. Okay, they went to the playoffs five times. But we all remember how terrible, not bad, how terrible the Cincinnati Bengals were before he got there. And then once he got there, he actually made them not only respectable, but you could go back into that 2015 season when the Broncos won the Super Bowl, and you could make the argument that if the Bengals come out with the win in that game, they will probably be in the Super Bowl because of what they had going on from there. Obviously, Andy Dalton at the time was injured when he was an MVP candidate. But when I see somebody like Marvin Lewis and what he did and how he built a team, and when you look at the Broncos right now, that's what they need. They need somebody who's going to build right back up this team, not just in leadership, but also back on the field as well. Give this team hope yet again in that locker room. And so I'm a little bit surprised that he didn't get a call.
You mentioned something earlier that I also wanted to follow up on, Justin, if I could. You mentioned that, well, it's the GM's job to go out and draft the quarterback, acquire the quarterback, sign the quarterback in free agency. But don't you want to know from any head coaching prospect, whether he spent most of his career on the offensive side or the defensive side, I want to know right off the top from Dan Quinn, what's your plan for the offense?
Well, where would the play come from, though? Because Dan Quinn's not the one who is choosing the quarterback.
No, but he is choosing the offensive coordinator, presumably. Right. What is your plan? Who is your Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah, that's a great question. See, that's the question that I would have as well, is that, you know, who would be the guy that you would pick, right, Dan Quinn? Who would be the guy that you would select, right? Would you even think about getting a Kellen Moore for one reason or another, say, hey, come over here, be the offensive coordinator? I don't think that would happen. I don't think you would want to leave Dak Prescott, for example, and go that route.
Yeah, but that'd be a lateral move.
Yeah, it would be. It would be absolutely.
Because he's calling plays in Dallas.
He is. And if we could be very honest, it might be a little bit of a downgrade of a move because at Dallas you at least know who the quarterback is, right? But in any case, it is important that you say, okay, this is, if you do pick with Dan Quinn, for example, that you at least know who is going to develop your quarterback, who is going to be that offensive mind that is going to help out your team. So that's one of the biggest things that I will look at, me personally. And to be honest, that's what Dan Quinn will also have to go and sell George Payton on as well. So it's a give or take type of deal. George Payton has a plan on what we're going to do at quarterback. And on the opposite side, what type of system are you going to bring as the head coach?
If they don't get Dan Quinn, for whatever reason, they can't come to terms, maybe a better deal presents itself in his mind, or who knows what, everybody else they've interviewed, I mean, plan to interview, will be a first-time head coach. That would be three in a row for the Broncos, though obviously Payton is new to the team. Knowing the way that has worked out, would it surprise you to see it happen? Are you surprised that there are so many first-time candidates available, and would there be any reason for Payton to maybe shy away from that?
I would be a little bit surprised, but in the same vein, remember, all the hirings happened under John Elway and not under George Payton.
Right.
And so that's the biggest thing for me, is that you can't go and say, well, the last couple of guys, they were first-timers. Well, it wasn't me who picked the guys. It was this other regime who picked the coach, not me. And so that's the biggest thing. Again, with George Payton, what he needs to do, right, you have those four-hour interviews. You need to make sure that you find the right person for your team and for the vision of what you want your team to look like as well. It could be a first-timer. It could be somebody who's a retread. But at the end of the day, you better make sure that you have the right person who is going to be able to work with the guys you put on the field.
Vance Joseph, first-time head coach. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Vic Fangio, first-time head coach. It was pretty clear that nobody in the interview process asked either one of them, how do you manage a game? What are your thoughts on use of timeouts? Do you need help in that regard? None of that apparently was asked, because both more or less went at it themselves without much, if any, assistance. And if Fangio got any, it was the first year, and he ended up wanting to fire the analytics guy. Of course, George Payton is bigger on analytics. He brings in a bunch of guys, but no indication that clock management was anything less than an unmitigated disaster again this year. How do you figure out, other than asking directly, I suppose, and if a guy's never been a head coach, he's never had to manage the clock, per se, how do you find out about that particular skill, and how important is that particular skill in the scheme of things?
Yeah, we have a saying, Sandy, and it's called put you on the board, meaning that whether you want a chalkboard or you want a whiteboard, let's put you on the board and let's go through different scenarios, right? Okay, third down and one, we're on the right hash, we have less than 2 minutes to go, or hey, we're down by seven. What are you going to do? What is your plans for these next couple of plays? What are you planning to call, and why would you call them? Those are the type of things that you should do in your interview process. And that's the way that you figure out if this guy is ready to go or not, if he's the right guy for you or not. I'll go and say it this. I just did an interviewing process for Montbello High School, which is my alma mater. Now, this is high school, right? But even in that type of situation, I was asking those type of questions. Hey, what are you going to do with a two-minute situation? What does a four-minute situation look like for you? And you couldn't believe that there are some coaches who are like, we're going to do A, B, C, and D. And then there are other coaches who looked at me like they never heard the term before in their life. Those are the type of things that George Payton and the rest of the guys in the room has to do to make sure that clock management is fine, that the way that you manage your roster is fine. Those are the things that they have to make sure that they accomplish in the interview process.
I just can't resist asking you, could you imagine George Payton or anybody in that room telling Dan Quinn, we know you weren't in charge, but you folks in Dallas gave us a lesson in completely incompetent clock management. How would you have done it differently if you had been the head coach? Wouldn't that be appropriate? It'd be blunt, but wouldn't that be appropriate?
Yeah, but you have to follow up by asking 28-3 and then walk out the room and try not to laugh at the same time, right? I mean,
well, that's even more cruel, but then again, you're more cruel than I am.
That's true, but it's just the reality. If you want to get one of these jobs, right, there's only 32 of them. And if you want one of them, you have to go and answer every question and make sure that everyone's satisfied in order to get the job done. And so I have absolutely no problems asking that. And to be very honest with you, you could actually impress the people that are interviewing you by explaining yourself and even sometimes saying, you know what, we should have did this. Here's what the play that we should have read, and I would have did this next time, and this is why. So those are the small things, because nobody's perfect, right? No coach will be perfect. No coach will have time management run right. No coach will call a play right 100% of the time. So those are the opportunities that you have to say, when I make a mistake, which will happen, this is how we'll recover.
Justin, last one for me. I want to steer our attention up to Boulder, where the CU football team, at the end of the season, the USA Today went and re-ranked all 130 FBS programs. They had the Buffs at 95 following that 4-8 season. Now, it goes from bad to worse because the transfer portal has been absolutely disastrous for the Buffaloes. This week alone, you ended up seeing Mekhi Blackmon go to USC, and then Brendan Rice, Jerry Rice's son, go to USC and stay in the conference. What is happening up in Boulder in your estimation, and how do they find a way to stop the bleeding?
It feels like to me, and I've been a part of this. I was a part of when Gary Barnett was fired and when Dan Hawkins was hired. What coaches generally do is they try to find their guy. Even if you are, you know, you're already on the team and you may have been recruited on the previous regime, they want to find their guys, right? But what we're seeing is something different that we haven't seen before because of the transfer portal. Now you can accelerate that and, oh, by the way, get guys who have played before as well. So it's just the feeling that all the guys that, number one, all the guys who are transferring out, by the way, Carl Durrell, he did not recruit. So it just gets the feeling that Carl Durrell wants to get his guys inside the door, the guys who are going to buy into his vision for the team. That's what it really feels like. We will all like to say it's about name, image, and likeness. We get the business side of that deal. But it just feels like with what's going on in Boulder right now, it's just Carl Durrell trying to get his guys in the door. And hopefully it pays off. We'll see what happens. They just got a transfer from Alabama on the offensive line, so we'll see how that will work out from there. But at the end of the day, if you don't have the talent on the field, especially in college football, if you don't have the talent on the field, you won't be winning any games, and Carl Durrell will be looking for another job in a couple of years.
He is Justin Adams, of course, with the CBS4 in Denver. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at JustinAdamsTV. Thanks for the time. Always such good insight. We get to knock around the bus a little bit with you, which ends up being a lot of fun, too. Obviously, next week, I hope you're right. We have a coach, and I'm looking forward to talking to you then. Thanks for the time.
Hey, fellas, anytime. Have a great week.
Thanks, Justin.